Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Root Insurance is all about you and how you drive. In fact, that's the number one factor we use to give you a better price, which puts you in control. Just download the Root app, hit the road, and we'll take care of the rest. The app measures your driving behavior and gives you a custom rate based primarily on your driving. The better you drive, the better your rate. It's car insurance made for you. Visit joinroot.com today to get started. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Season 2 starts April 5th.
Woo!
But until then, we'll be sharing Patreon archived episodes that we've yet to release to the public.
Yes, you're going to hear our conversations ranging from Randy's labor to if we plan to spank Drew or not, possible future labors, and, you know, how we'll raise Drew to handle the police, and more.
Patreon also just got an update, y'all. And if you're interested in exclusive extra content as well as episodes from season 2 mm-hmm. that won't air until April 5th, you can now join for as little as $1.
Woo!
Drew is 11 months, y'all.
Yes.
So we'll be sharing the final part of her labor story.
Because she made it.
Oh, my labor story. Goddamn. It's our labor story.
It's ours. It's me, you, and Drew's.
The family's labor story.
You will hear from all sides.
Even though we know that clearly she made it. She's here. She's mm-hmm. well. But, you know, y'all don't really know.
You have to hear the dramatic ending to this tale.
What happened? Even though we've kind of sort of talked about it. Anyway, so yeah, we're excited to share this story and we hope that y'all enjoy.
I'm strong like my daddy. I'm Hercules. That's too deep. You sleep. You hopped over the fence. You sheep. You slept on me. My last album is weaponry.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
This is our last and final labor delivery story.
Part three.
We would like to give a shout out to three women who had their babies around the same time we did.
Yes.
Amber, I went to high school with her. She gave birth to her son, Judah, March 1st. But before that, Woo. Sheila, who I went to college with, gave birth to her daughter, Sika, which translates into gold, February 23rd.
Woo, February.
And Marquita, who gave birth to her son, Lennox, March 3rd.
Woo.
So. And then Drew was March 2nd. So we literally have a first, a second, and a third. Sheila's baby was actually due on the day that Drew was due.
But came early.
Came a little early. Just a little. So congrats, ladies. We made it. We survived our pregnancies. And our babies are here safely. All right. So the last episode, part two, we left off at Mikey being allowed into the C-section. Into the room.
Yes.
The operating room.
I walked in. I got to see you. Is that where we were?
Yeah.
So walk into the room and Randy's laid out there. They have like the top half of your body covered and they have a sheet above like your neck so that you can't see your body.
Right.
And I, you know, came right over to you.
All right. So my, the C-section happens. I don't know this is happening yet because I have been numbed and giving another epidural and something else for nausea because I had some really bad anxiety. And just because C-sections apparently make you nauseous from what the anesthesiologist told me.
Yeah.
Drew just got a pacifier. She just finally took it after being here on this earth for 28 days. And so she is learning how to use it and she's sucking very loud.
Aggressively.
So
it's okay. I can't.
I just want y'all to know that's what's in the background.
It is not a dog growling while chewing on a human.
Yes, and she also is a little congested, but you know, springtime. But anyway, so my thoughts during the C-section, I was really just ready to get it over with, because I was tired of being on my back. I was shaking really badly.
Because of the epidural?
Right. And my whole right side, I could not feel my whole right side. I was completely numb. I was completely numb. And the lady who gave me the epidural was like, that's normal. That's one of the side effects of doing this. And I was
She was really nice. What's this called? Anesthesiologist. Yes. She was cool.
Yeah, she was really nice. Cool, very affirming and calming because I must have been looking crazy.
I think it's because she knows that it works.
Yeah.
She knows whatever she's doing is actually going to, like, give you what you want.
Right. But also, I think she was also just very empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Because the need of C-section at this point, she was there. She gave my epidural 8 hours before.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but also, so I feel like I was in Kill Bill, the first one, where she finally gets herself to the car.
What, the wiggle ear?
And she's, like, yelling at her toes, like, move. And I was trying to move my right hand the whole time. But I couldn't. I was numb. I just could not feel my whole right side of my body. But I was just ready to see Drew, hoping she cried when she got out and was okay. But also, I was just really anxious. Those are my thoughts. What were yours?
Well, now I'm thinking that it's really good that you couldn't move your body because there was a lot of stuff going on behind that sheet.
I mean, yeah, they made it so I couldn't move, but my right side of my body, the whole right side of my body was numb. That mm-hmm. wasn't what was supposed to happen. It's just supposed to be where they was cutting.
Nah.
I could feel my left side. And move my left side, but I couldn't move anything on my right.
In my thoughts during, I think I talked about a little bit about this on the last part. I was just worried about y'all. If you've listened to any previous episodes, then you would be aware that after we lost the first baby, I watched a lot of Grey's Anatomy.
Right.
And so the extent of my medical knowledge is what I learned from Grey's Anatomy mm-hmm. and what I learned from my mom and just a little bit of common sense. So I know all of the things on that show aren't like how real life works, but there are instances where things happen because medicine. I was really happy that you were finally getting help and that she was about to come out. But I was really sad prior to walking into the room because you had been through so much for so long. And I was like, I don't know. I was in that we learned about this in therapy about like expectations that you have.
Right.
And how you just kind of, let some of those things go. I was like, nah, she really deserved, like, this type of labor. Wanted, really deserved it. Like, after all she's been through, she should have had this. But that's not where we're at right now.
Nope.
And I had to get that together really quick. And I did before I walked in. I was kind of proud of that. But then seeing you there, I was like, I got emotional again, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, sad.
Why?
Because you was laid out like Jesus. Like, your arms were out. Like a little cross, you couldn't move nothing.
Nope.
Except your neck. The only thing you was able to move, like for real, were your face.
My face, my face and my
was
neck.
Your face.
And
I'm just looking at your body. It's about 6 people surrounding you from toe to chest. 3 other people getting some stuff ready in the corner for Drew. And it was a little overwhelming at first, but I immediately just locked in on your face, came sat by you. I was like, I'll be gone. I'm right here to let you know that I'm right here. And I was just kind of, I don't know. I think I was also just a little more fascinated by you again. This is also your first major surgery that I have ever been around you.
I've never had surgery before.
And I've known you for most of your life. So this is also just weird.
Yeah.
Like seeing your best friend going through like surgery. And I'm the only one here. Like I can't like rely on your mom or something or anybody else in this room that's like family to be like to support.
Right.
It's just me and you. And I was like, I want to make sure I'm like doing this properly.
And you are. And so, they got her out. Mikey
was looking, gross.
And I thought that by the time they called him in, that they were just cutting me open. But apparently, they were pulling the baby out.
Called me in, no one had cut you yet.
Okay.
This is what I'm saying. While I'm talking to Randy, we're like, me and the anesthesiologist are like just making jokes, like doing mm-hmm. our, consoling thing. Not mm-hmm. really consoling. Randy wasn't like, crying hysterically or anything. She was just like, yeah, I'm like ready.
Yeah.
And you hear little like Ziploc sounds and like whooshing and like some air. How would you describe that?
I don't remember any of that.
All right. So it was like, it's kind of like saw sounds, but no metal. I don't know how to say that. And I heard like a little whoosh. And then they were like, all right, we're about to get started. They said, we're about to get started. And at this point, my face is next to Randy's.
I didn't hear that part.
It's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. I stand up slightly to now look over the sheet that's ahead of Randy. And there's a baby out.
Right.
And I guess I just made a face.
He goes.
And Randy saw my face.
And I was like, what was wrong? He was like, she's so cute.
I was like, she's so cute.
And I was like, wait, she's out? Because and she wasn't making any noise. There wasn't like a bit, like she didn't cry. She didn't do that whole
It wasn't
TV
the TV thing.
Yeah. I was like, wait, she's out.
She was very much here.
Yeah.
In purple and leg flapping in the air. We're going to get to that in a second.
Yeah.
And she was moving. And I was like, did you not feel that? Like, I'm just looking at Randy.
And I was like, I don't feel it. I was like, what is happening?
And you don't know.
No.
It was very interesting.
And then they make her cry. So I was like, oh my God. So I heard her cry. And that, and it was really short.
And yeah, we both, I got a little choked up.
Yeah. And I said hey to her, but like, I don't know if she could hear me.
Yeah, no, we're across the room at this point.
Right.
She could.
Okay.
She could.
So Mikey went to her.
Well, before I went to her, I kissed on Randy. Said congratulations. I was like, you did it.
I don't remember.
Just loving my wife real quick. I'm loving my wife. We're going to love my baby. But then they were like, daddy, you can come see. And I was like, yes. I think the rules were you couldn't like record.
Yeah.
But fuck that.
Mike took a picture. He took a few.
I got some video too.
We'll put it on Patreon. You got video?
Yeah, I got
I
video.
Haven't seen any video.
Like, just the, you're about to have a baby, like, thing.
What?
The one, I'll find it.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I walked over to her and this was my first time getting to see my baby. I walk over to her. There were about three people next to this little egg incubator.
Right.
And, and she was just, she was so purple. She was like just a little purple and gray, blah. But she was so cute.
She was.
And they were like suctioning stuff out. They were suctioning out her mouth, suctioning out her nose, because they were trying to get her to like cry, you know, make sure she's okay. Her eyes were open. Like, her eyes weren't open yet. And I said, hey. And she opened her eyes and she looked at me. I was like, oh, yes.
And she still does that.
This is our moment. Yeah. This is the moment I can tell people my baby loved me because she looked at me first and opened her eyes first to see me. So she opened her eyes, but she's still not crying.
Yeah.
And
she took a minute to cry.
They're still trying to like suction stuff out to get her to cry, Randy. And she's just looking at me. And I was like, it's okay. And she's just like, man, like every time.
Yeah.
Every time they stuck something like next to her, she would cry for half a second.
Yeah.
So that she would let them know that she was fine. And she was like, stop. Like, man.
Yeah.
Like it was hilarious.
It wasn't like a long piercing cry at all.
But she was awake. She was breathing. She was looking at us. We just looking at her like, you know, give us a little extra. I wasn't able to cut the cord.
Right. He couldn't cut the cord. It was just not sterile. It was just too much.
But they were cleaning her up and getting her ready. And I went back over to Randy and they were stitching Randy up.
Yeah.
And during this process, I got a couple pictures. But like, I'm just walking past, you know, my wife, wide open. I saw Randy's whole intestines. They were pretty.
So one thing Mikey left out, I hadn't said yet, is when they pull her out, we discovered Drew had three cords.
Oh, yeah, tied in her cord. Yes.
And so we, so she had a nuchal loop, which was around her neck. And they do help women like deliver vaginally if a baby has that type of loop around their neck. Mm-hmm. It is possible to birth the baby vaginally. But Drew also had a true knot. Which you have a picture of, that only happens in like 1 in 100 births.
And it looked like when you tie your shoe.
Yeah, in a knot. And
like when you were purposely trying to tie it so that it would not untie.
Yeah. And then she had a third knot, but I don't know.
It was close to looking like a Drew knot, but like you could unravel it if you wanted to without
putting
force on it.
And so essentially, Drew was never coming out vaginally.
Nah, she wasn't. She wasn't going to drop.
Every time I was having a contraction, it was suffocating her and making her heart rate rise, and that's what we had been doing for 38 hours. This whole time, she's had three knots in her cord,
and she couldn't come out.
She couldn't come down, so it was never going to happen. And we didn't know that until they cut me, and pulled her out.
Yeah,
and so I felt better in terms of like knowing that this necessarily wasn't my fault. That I couldn't do
none
this.
Of it was your fault.
But then I also felt bad because she got all these damn knots in her cord. But there's nothing I could do about that.
But I don't know why you feel bad, because that was her fault.
Yeah,
that was her fault. This girl in there doing flips.
Yeah,
spinning.
Tying herself up, tangling herself,
being extra,
and was never gonna come down. She was never supposed to come out vaginally.
I think when we found out about the cord, I was happy for you. I was like, okay, so now it's justified. Randy is really good when she gets facts or just information. It's the unknown that bothers you.
Yeah.
And so here is real world evidence as to the reason why this is what has to happen.
Right.
And like, it was nasty. Like,
yeah, we took a
like,
picture.
Oh, a
we'll put like a trigger warning on Patreon because it's bloody. Like, it was just a picture.
Yeah.
I was like, we need a picture of this. And so at one point, Mikey does, or not, is it you that brings the baby up, brings Drew over?
Yeah, so before that, I go and they were, so I was going over to Drew, and they noticed, and I noticed that her leg,
her left
was,
leg,
her left leg, I call it her lucky leg,
yeah,
was completely bent backwards.
Yeah.
So imagine if your, like, just your knee folds forward like a crane or something.
Yeah.
Like so an ostrich.
She'd kick her leg out and it would go to her forehead.
It would come up to her, her chest.
Essentially.
It was weird. And I was like, so we're going to do something about that? So what the doctor notices, he's like, oh, and he takes her leg, Randy.
He pops it back.
He puts it back. But then to find out if that really happened, he does it again.
Uh-huh.
So he takes the leg and flicks it all the way forward. And I'm just looking.
Right.
And Drew, mind you, she, you know, every part of her body is new.
Right.
So this doesn't matter to her. She was like, eh.
Yeah.
I was like, eh? Like after your leg just popped forward.
And backwards.
They ended up like swaddling her leg. And then swaddling her body so that it could, like, stay in place. But my baby, you know, leg.
Yeah, so she was diagnosed with congenital dislocation of the knee.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the diagnosis was. And so I was actually discharged in the hospital. That's, like, a little further. But we were discharged earlier so that she could get a harness fitted.
Yeah.
We have a picture of that, too. But, yeah, so that was the actual diagnosis. She had her knee was dislocated. And it, from what we were told, it usually happens to babies who are breech. But Drew wasn't breech. But at one point, maybe she was foot down, you know, legs down during the pregnancy for her legs. That? Or just maybe it just happened. I don't know.
She was active.
Yeah. She moved a lot, active. Which is what I told people. She was very active. But yeah.
That's also, after they, you know, we discovered everything around the cord, I get to see Randy's insides, which I would love to talk more about. But, you know, organs are organs.
Right.
And Randy's were beautiful. But every time they started, like, to adjust Randy's, like,
stomach
body,
mm-hmm.
Randy would like throw up.
I would gag. Yeah,
she throw up like this neon green. It was so
bowel.
Cool.
It was bowel.
Oh, it was so cool.
It was awful because I'm on my back throwing up, and that's the worst. Like
yeah,
it's
that's
just
not,
like, and all I could do was turn my head and throw up into the bag.
Yeah, I was holding the bag on the side of her mouth.
It was awful. I was just like, I just felt so. I was so mad. I was like, I've been through so much. I'm just now I'm throwing up at the end of my labor.
And they were only doing it because. Like I said, every time they moved your intestines, green stuff. It was
so
weird.
Gag. But apparently also it's common to throw up during a C-section.
Yeah.
Or afterwards, which I also didn't know. But after I threw up, I felt a lot better. Cause I just was feeling really sick and anxious. But you know, you finally throw up and get it up and you're like, oh my God, that was great.
So
but, yeah.
It didn't take very long while she was in the, I'm gonna call it the egg incubator. While she was in a little egg incubator, she started, no, color. She started getting a little bit of color.
Well, she
to
did
her.
Meet me first before she did that.
No. This was
did
when
she,
they were, they
oh, you
were.
You have it back. Or you have it.
It's okay. She, so when they were in there, like, you know, her face started to light up.
Oh,
only
okay.
her face. The rest of her body was still, like, right. purple. And she was fine. I guess that's how they knew, like, she was getting air and she was fine, even though she wasn't crying.
Oh, she was breathing. Uh huh.
So, they've now wrapped her legs. They've swallowed her and they were like, I can take her. And
okay.
I was like, good. All right. I'm going to take you to see your mama. So
it
I, like,
was really great.
And, she don't weigh nothing. Oh, I got her weight and her measurements.
6 pounds, 10 ounces, 20 inches.
And took a picture of those and, like, walked over to Randy.
I say, hey, Drew. And she turns her head, y'all.
She does. I placed her right on Randy's, like, shoulder and boob.
She
she's right by
her
face.
She turns her head and looks right at me like she knows my voice. And I did post a picture on Instagram of that moment. I didn't say it was that moment, but it was of that moment when I did my blog post and shared a snippet of it. But y'all, if you look back at the picture, she's looking directly at me.
She looked dead at Randy. It was nice.
It, like, she turned her head and she still does that. She still, like, hears me and looks at me. It was so nice.
It was.
I was really drugged.
You just left her there. As drugged up as you were, you were in that moment.
I was happy.
You
I really
were so
happy.
Straight. Yeah. And she just sat
right
there and just laid there. She stared at you for a minute.
Yeah.
A long time. I think the entire time.
Yeah.
And then I tried to sneak in a selfie, which we haven't posted anywhere. So I guess we'll post that on Patreon.
We had that on. No.
The one that I took of like the three of us. And I was looking goofy. So we'll post that one.
Oh, okay.
So that people can see it. But I got a little selfie of us. Mommy drugged. Drew confused.
Right.
Daddy happy.
Right.
And she was good. So now Randy had to be moved into the recovery room.
Right. But Mikey and Drew got to leave before me, which just made me crazier because I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah, they were like, so we're going
to
take y'all over.
Me. Yeah.
Because they had to finish up doing stuff for Drew, doing like a little, assessment on her real quick. And they were like, we're going to get this in before mommy gets over here. They had to finish getting you together.
Yeah.
And while that was happening, I'm just making jokes like about the doctor because the doctor was doing
Dr. James,
magic.
Yeah.
She was doing magic on Randy's stomach. I still can't see a scar. But like, the doctor was sewing Randy up nice. I was just complimenting her. We were asking questions. We were talking. Randy's spirits was up. Everybody was just happier now. The baby was out.
Was but, I back in there? Is you talking about me?
No, this was before that. This was when you were still in the room.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, Drew and I left. They rolled her in the little egg incubator into the recovery room, and we had to wait for Randy. We get into the room, and it's me and another doctor, and she's just walking me through how to swaddle her because of her leg.
Right.
And it sucked. It sucked. But I got to sit for about an hour, and before we get to that, Randy, you came into the room.
Right. I came into the room and I was shaking really badly from the epidural.
Yeah.
And so they let me hold Drew, but I didn't feel comfortable holding her because I was shaking so bad. And it was making me numb. Like, yeah. I just couldn't hold her. And I mean, I really wanted to, but I couldn't hold her. And so.
Yeah, Randy still had drugs in her system.
And so the nurse or the medical assistant, she was like, don't try to stop the shakes. That just makes them worse.
Yeah, she's like, but let
like,
them happen.
It's just. It's natural for your body to want to stop something that's uncomfortable. So it's really hard for me to do. And so I end up just going to sleep.
And the entire time, I'm like, Randy was shaking like she cold.
Yeah. Like
you're shaking like you got like cold chills every 3 minutes.
No, I was just, it was nonstop shaking.
And then she was
like,
just
my
vibrating.
Teeth are chattering. Yeah. It was awful. It was so awful. And so, I end up falling asleep. So Mikey holds Drew and I sleep for maybe 30 minutes and I wake up, the shaking's done and I can finally hold her. They try to get her to latch and she don't want to. She look at my nipple, she smile and she go to sleep. And cause we had a hard labor. She like, I don't want to eat right now. I want to sleep.
And so since Randy was asleep, I got about an hour with Drew where I was just talking. I was just walking around with her, dancing in the room. It was warmer in there.
It was.
She ended up falling asleep, but I was just telling her everything I could think of, how proud I was of her for making it through this, how excited me and Randy were to have her, welcoming her into the world, just kissing on her. She was so cute.
Yeah, she was.
She really came out cute. And
came out white, but she was cute.
Yeah, yeah. Started making jokes about that, you know, like when her color gonna load. It's like, all right, Randy, this baby got 2 weeks to get some color, you know.
She take a little longer, but that's all right. She on her own time. She
brownish now. This is good.
She don't like time limits, but
she doesn't. But that time talking to her was just great. Randy, you were shaking in your sleep, but then at one point you stopped. You finally stopped shaking, and I think you woke up maybe 20 minutes after that.
Yeah, and I just knew I woke up and I wasn't shaking no more.
Yeah, and you were feeling fine. And I was like, okay, good. And so they were like, all right, I guess this is gonna be best moment to go ahead and get y'all together. So I had to like let go of my baby.
Yeah.
But like, it was fine.
And this skin to skin with mom. Drew. But again, she just fell asleep. She just fell asleep on my chest. And she was not trying to eat, which is fine.
She was trying to sleep.
Yeah, she was
tired.
Well,
your heart rate and her heart rate were elevated for about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
2 hours. So.
Yeah, she was tired. So they didn't stress it because the baby doesn't have to necessarily eat right when they come out. They can wait. They can take up to 6 hours to eat. And so.
And looking back. There was no need to try to rush this baby to feed.
Yeah. She eats. She's fine. But yeah, so that was the first latches tip. And then Nurse Jenny visits and she's really happy because Drew has been born before her shift is over.
Now, which if was you her. Are a part of the people who are just now receiving this episode, you don't know who Nurse Jenny is.
Oh, yeah.
We'll give you a quick overview. Nurse Jenny was an advocate for Randy during the pregnancy. She very helpful and stayed in the room with the family for
the whole time.
The whole time. Actually.
Yeah. She really advocated for me, and she was the reason I even had the doctor come in so that
Time that she did.
Yeah, so we could even realize that I needed a C-section because the midwife was not.
But that's all y'all get for free.
Interested. Mikey, shut up. Was not interested.
So yeah, Nurse Jenny came in, and we have a picture of her. My phone wasn't the best, but it's a blurry picture, but it's a good picture. And Nurse Jenny was just very happy because her shift just ended.
It just ended. And her shift ended at 7. Drew was born at 6:01.
Mm-hmm. But
and so
Randy
she was
had just
really
woken
happy.
Up from a nap
but
at
I had just woken up. And it was 8:30.
Yeah.
So she stayed back.
I was trying to figure out why she was there too. They asked. They're like, why are you here?
She stayed back. And she came back and told me she was really happy that I didn't fight them on wanting to get a C-section. That like she told me she was happy that I knew I needed it and also that I didn't like fight the fact that I needed it. She was like, because you know, this baby, she's like, all those knots, I just can't believe it. And you You know, I just, yeah. you know,
was
she
it
just
Nurse Jenny that
out.
Had the bucket with the,
yeah, she had the bucket. Okay. We didn't get a picture of her face, but she was holding the cord and the bucket so we could take a picture of it. But she was like, I'm just so happy because, you know, I just don't know if she would have came out alive. And I don't think so either. Not vaginally. It just wasn't going to happen, y'all. Mm. And my body, my mom said, was just trying to protect me and her and defend her.
And that's why she kept back up.
Yeah, I kept dilating and losing my dilation and I wasn't progressing and because this baby could not come out vaginally.
Dr. James came in the room after that.
Yeah.
Dr. James, who we love at this point, we have been debating, Randy and I, for about a month now about where Dr. James was from. And neither one of us asked at any of the meetings.
No,
we never asked.
Oh, okay.
So we finally asked Dr. James where she was from because we figured she was West Indian. She was like, yeah, Jamaican.
Yes, Jamaican.
Like,
yes. So we got a black Jamaican woman.
As the doctor. Couldn't ask for anything better.
And she also is my doctor at the midwifery practice. But, you know, you don't always see the doctor.
No.
But towards the end of the pregnancy, you do. Or
you saw the doctor
did.
More than anybody else.
Right. Actually, I did. Yeah, she saw me walking in the hallway. She was actually really concerned. She's like, you don't look chipper. And I'm like, I'm in labor. I'm not happy. I'm not happy at
She's
all.
She's just used to you looking different.
Yeah, she's like, you're not your cheery self. I'm like, I'm tired. This is hour 24.
And these nurses ain't helpful. But that's part two.
Yeah, they ask us her name. We tell them her name is Drew April Chapman.
Yeah.
So that's her name. It is written
and
out
she
there.
Is real.
She got her social security card.
She got a whole social security card. It's cute.
And my mom visits. We have a picture of that.
Yeah, Randy's mom comes in, kisses on Randy, loves on him. At this point, I was still holding Drew.
No, I was holding her.
Were you?
Mm-hmm. It's a picture. Mom, she's on my chest still.
I think I had her when Bree came in.
Oh, okay.
And that was nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
Because your mom held her.
Yeah.
She was the first person other than me or you.
To hold her. Yeah, it was nice. And, you know, as y'all heard, at least in the first episode, Mama was there the whole time.
Mm-hmm. And if Patreon allows you listeners to hear this, if you heard part two, Mom did more stuff. If you didn't hear part two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know this podcast is powered by Acast? Acast is the home of podcasting. For creators looking for freedom to grow their listeners and make money too. And creative brands looking for smart ways to advertise. Podcasters and advertisers in the know Acast. It's time you did too. Visit Acast.com to find out more. Acast, for the stories.
Yeah, so it was really nice. Your mom was like, she was going to go outside and get everything situated because then we were about to be moved to like a room.
Mother baby room.
Yeah, and then Bree comes in.
Yeah, my sister comes in and gets her pictures and gets to meet Drew and hug on both of us and Mikey as well. And I think we have pictures of that.
Yeah, we started making fun of Bree before she came in. We were like, she gonna cry.
And she did, didn't she?
And she did. She did cry.
She did cry.
It didn't even take
cried.
A second.
Mama didn't cry.
She didn't. I'm pretty sure your mother cried when she
in
left
the car.
The room.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, she gotta
freaking
be hard.
Aries is so tough.
Her birthday is tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah. So but yeah, so they both got to visit. It was really nice because they had like been working with me and Mike the whole time. I think Ashley had to leave our doula because it was her daughter's birthday.
And her daughter was sick.
Yeah, and her daughter was sick. So like they just were warrior women and they helped me out. And she ended up having to leave. She didn't get to meet Drew at that moment, but she did later. And we were transferred to the room and we spent our first night alone with this baby. And so at one point, Mikey's asleep or you're moving the car. I don't know. At one point, it's just me and Drew. And so they switched me to a bed.
What night was this?
The first night. Yeah. Saturday.
Saturday. All right. So Saturday, I didn't go to the house. That was Sunday.
Yes.
So Saturday, I was just there.
Okay. Then you must have been asleep. Mm-hmm. So at one point, so they have me. Apparently, you get a C-section. You can't walk for 12 hours. So I couldn't walk for 12 hours, but they had these little suction things on my legs to keep me from getting blood clots in my calves.
Yeah, I had to adjust that. A couple times.
And I was itching really badly, but apparently that's also a side effect of having anesthesia and all that. It's just horrible. But
yo, the drugs had Randy, so
my body just rejected them.
Randy was mad itchy.
It was so bad.
She was upset.
Like I was like, oh my God, scratch me. Like it was awful.
I ended up giving you the scratch yourself.
A pen or a paper knife, a plastic knife.
Oh, the plastic knife from the hospital food, which we should also talk about.
So that I could scratch my leg. Anyway, they had me to the bed, and so I couldn't really do much.
She couldn't get up.
Like I couldn't get up.
Couldn't turn because, you know, C-section.
Right. I still had the catheter in me. I was so uncomfortable. I was like, this is so bad. But I was really happy that Drew was okay. The nurse was concerned. We had an old nurse, you know, the first shift, she was Nigerian. And Drew was still asleep. And she was telling me, you know, hey, you got to feed her because it's been more than 6 hours. And it had been like 9. Drew still hadn't eaten. She had only woken up briefly. But I'm like, we had a long-ass labor.
Looking back again, she was perfectly fine.
This baby is tired. And I was tired. But I was concerned because she hadn't eaten.
And because the nurse comes in, and she's a medical professional, and she tells you, hey, you should probably be worried.
Right. Because she's not eating. If you don't wake her up, I'm going to have to wake her up. We may have to do formula. And I'm like, nah, it's not happening. So I get Drew, and I have to football hold her, which is like a way to breastfeed because of my scar. I'm trying not to let that impact me because it's just certain things when you get a C-section. Now, when I got the C-section that I couldn't do naturally, I felt like.
So you couldn't do the normal hold the baby across your stomach
thing. I couldn't get up to get to her if she cried
so
and stuff.
I had to get up and give her to you. Yeah. And then when you were done, had to, you know, put her back in her bassinet.
Right.
The hospital bassinet was really nice, by
the way.
It
was.
I really wish
we'd
have got
one like that. Yeah. I don't know what we were doing. Next time around, we'll do better. But we also, like, at one point, I had to get the nurse's help to change her. This is throughout my stay because, you know, Mikey's sleep class is about to start back. He had already missed the day because of the labor. And I couldn't, like, keep bending down to get her. And it was just making me really sad that I couldn't move in the way that I wanted to attend to my daughter. But anyway, I remember when I was looking at breastfeeding stuff to, like, be really calm and the baby can sense when you're tense. And so I was telling Drew, you know, hey, this is our first time. I'm not going to, you know, pressure you. We both learning. And the nurse, she was like, hey, what is her name? And I told her what her name was. She was like, you know, call her by her name. Tell her what you want her to do. And so I called her by her name. And I was like, you know, Drew, I really want you to latch. You got to eat. And it really helped, I think, because she latched shortly after that. And I was able to feed her. And she had an adequate amount of poopy and wet diapers for them to know that she was digesting and consuming.
Was I there for the first latch? Or was this after I left to go get
stuff?
You
left to, like, get the stuff or move the cars. You were not there in the room with me when I had to feed her at first. But it was
nice. I think
nice.
This was the first time I had to leave. I ain't like that, but it's fine.
Yeah, but the only dream that Drew has ever given me the whole pregnancy was me latching her. I had a dream that she latched and she latched well, and so I knew that I wouldn't have a problem breastfeeding when she came out. It was just
and I was very proud
when she was going to eat.
You just walk in and see like a little tiny thing sucking on your wife's titty. It was interesting. It was very interesting. I'm like, oh.
But yeah, so it was our first latch, like 9 hours later. And
the first night, though,
yeah.
The first night was interesting.
Was it?
It was because your mom left.
Yeah, everybody left.
Bree left.
And it was just
Saturday
us.
Night. This is our first Saturday night as parents, Randy.
Yes.
And they left us alone with this baby.
We're like she in the bassinet by the wall, and we looking at her like,
we looking at her like, you know, stay asleep or, you know,
right.
Like, just, and then we looking at each other.
Her?
It was like, I guess we can go to sleep now. It was very confusing.
Yeah, I actually think that's the only thing I miss about the hospital stay. I actually got to sleep. I don't sleep now, but I got to sleep when we were in the hospital because the nurses weren't
called. And they kept saying, take advantage of this time because she won't
and
be
I
able
did.
To do
I slept.
Yeah.
I did sleep. But that's the only thing. That's the main thing I miss is just having the extra help. They came in, they changed her, and they, you know, gave her to me, and I fed her, and it was great. And now I'm home to my own defenses
and doing great.
Thank you,
man. But why they leave us with this baby?
Yeah, yeah.
So Monday comes around or Sunday, and I have to leave now. This
to
happened
go get
in between
his clothes
some
and stuff.
Of those things.
Yeah.
I had a class on Monday, so I had to go home and get some clothes and come back. And I run, I get my clothes, I come back, and it was my first time leaving you in the hospital. And it was my first time leaving Drew, and
yeah.
I absolutely hated it.
He
and
was not happy
I was
about
a ball
that.
Of anxiety and frustration and a whole bunch of things. But I get back, y'all were fine. Like, y'all were like alive.
Yeah.
And everything was good, and I hated it because I had to go back to class the next day.
Right.
I wake up the next morning. That night wasn't very restful. But it wasn't rough. I think you woke me up maybe twice to like give her to you to help out.
Yeah.
So that you could feed her. But other than that, she slept. And I remember thinking, I mean, like, oh, this would be cool if this was like the way that it goes forward from now on. She only get up once or twice at night.
No, she had up more than that. You just were asleep. The nurse had to pass her to me, which is, you know, I knew you had to sleep. And so I, and on top of that, trying to rise you, you weren't also waking. Because you were,
yeah, I died. I was gone.
And so I, it was a foreshadowing of what would be when we got home. And so,
you sound so sad about it.
I'm just saying. Okay. We're trying to wake you up. It's hard. It's hard trying to wake you up.
Because I stay up so much. I it takes a lot for me to keep myself up. And when I be up, I be up.
Yeah.
And I'm alert. But like when it's time to like for my body to shut down, especially what I've been going through with this class, it's just way different.
Yeah.
It's just different.
And that's like I said, that's the only thing I miss is not having nurses in rotation. Mm-hmm. But no, he had class Monday and she didn't. Yeah. I think Sunday night is actually when she cluster fed.
Yeah, I came back. So I left Monday morning for class and I was like, you know, my class is down the street from the hospital. So I tried to come back on my lunch break. I come back. I see y'all. You had the lactation nurse come.
The lactation nurse came.
And I got to meet her real quick. But then I had to go because my lunch break was only an hour. Had to go back to class. But like, just I got to pop in. As soon as class was over, ran straight back to the hospital, stayed over. And think the next day, Randy hit me with the, hey, you know, we don't have to stay. We can go home.
Yeah. So because of her diagnosis, we had to get her in a harness. And the only way to get her in this harness was to discharge us because they couldn't get the harness to the hospital. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the problem was. They just couldn't get it. They were trying to find it and they couldn't get it. So they had to send us to the clinic where they have the harness.
And this harness, the purpose of it was to hold her leg in a place to where it would.
She couldn't extend it and it goes back. They had to do not ultrasound. They had to do an x-ray of her leg. And so it's actually a hip problem that we discovered.
Did they ever give you any pictures of the x-ray?
No. I think it may be in her medical record.
Okay.
But they had to come in and do an x-ray of her knee, of her hip on down. Because apparently her knee is actually a hip problem. And so we got her in this harness, y'all, and it was awful.
Like, hated it.
And y'all have seen actual pictures of it. And just her, you probably didn't even notice it was her in a harness, but we do have pictures of her in this harness and we will post them on Patreon.
Hated it.
But it was really bad. Me and my mom took her because I couldn't drive still because of the C-section and she cried. I cried. It was,
Yeah, I came home to see.
It was so sad and it didn't hurt her. She was fine, you know, because babies got,
she was comfortable.
You know, yeah. She didn't seem to care.
She got used to it. The harness gave her like a little extra support because it also like kept her back still
and her knees. She didn't care, but it was really hard changing her diaper. She couldn't wear certain things because her harness was on her. And so we couldn't actually put her in any of her onesies or
anything. Her mobility was limited. She can't wiggle her legs. She can't, you know, like do stuff.
We were just worried. Really sad. She had to wear it for a week. And we had to do an appointment with the Children's Hospital, the orthopedic department. And we took her to the hospital. I took her to the hospital. It was one of my first times out with her. By myself.
Yeah, all of Drew's hospital visits up until a week ago, I couldn't go to because of my class. Classes.
And so I took her to that one. My mom was back at work. My sister's back at work. And so I got to learn how to do me and her. And so we got there. And thankfully, the ortho that I chose, because a lady asked me on the phone when I made the appointment if I wanted a man or a woman. And I was like, let's do a woman because Drew likes women. And so We get in there and the lady's last baby she just had the same thing Drew has.
The baby prior to Drew. Her baby.
Her
baby apparently had a harness.
Yeah. And so. No, had the same diagnosis as Drew. I don't know if she put her in a harness.
Okay. Either way, I like her reaction.
Yeah. So she took the harness off. She was like, yeah, let's take this harness off. We don't like the harness. And I was like, yeah, we don't like the harness.
We hate the harness.
Please, let's take the harness off. And so she took the harness off and basically, we just are currently double diapering Drew.
My baby got on two diapers.
She wears two diapers right now until April 15th, where she goes in for her ultrasound to make sure that her hip is fine. So apparently, where her knee dislocates, her hip drops. And so if her hip doesn't drop, her knee can't go back. And her knee has yet to do this flip thing. So
she's been free?
That it has self-corrected.
Oh, the harness, her knee looked like her other knee. It has like lines on it.
Yeah.
So it's like cute.
Yeah.
I still call her lucky leg.
Yeah.
But
the ortho thinks that she's fine, but if she isn't fine, if her ultrasound like shows that her knee and her hip are still dislocated, then we would have to keep double diapering her and potentially put her in a hip harness. But I did not think that is what we would have to do. And we started tummy time. And so.
Yeah, Drew has very, first of all, this baby is strong.
She is.
She's extremely strong. She has a solid grip.
Yeah.
Not like just with her hands. Because her fingers are long as all hell.
Yeah.
But her arms and her legs. So Drew is already pushing up to where she's like turning her head,
yeah,
while she's up on her arms.
Yeah.
She has, you know, she has my head. So,
yeah, she's...
so it's a little weight that she got to carry.
Yeah.
But she's doing a really great job at like figuring things out. She's just growing up.
She's doing really well.
It's like, just how are you feeling now? Because now we are 4 weeks out or 3 weeks out.
She is 27 days, 28 days.
Four weeks.
Yeah.
So 4 weeks out. She's about to be a month soon.
Yeah.
And look at her.
She's 27
no longer
days.
The little purple gray blob that they pulled out with the
leg. I didn't see her when she was purple.
Back. It was nasty.
They didn't like immediately show her to me like they do on like some of the TV specials.
Nah.
She wasn't covered in blood or anything when
she
saw her. She was swaddled and clean and in her little hat when I saw her, which is already on Instagram, the picture we posted. But
so, you know, full head of hair, two eyes.
Yeah, they counted her toes, they counted her fingers. We saw the midwife later. She came into the hospital, I forgot to say that. And she was like, yeah, you know, I just want to let you know. One, she was really worried that I was worried that about, she was worried that I was worried that the C-section was my fault.
Because she wasn't around enough to know that that's not where we was at.
Wasn't my concern. But she was like, you know, I just want you to let you know that I give birth, you know, that I've birthed babies.
You ain't birthed this baby.
Not birth babies, Mike. That she's helped women labor babies who had the nuchal loop.
You ain't helped with this labor.
Yeah, she didn't. But Drew didn't only have a nuchal loop around her neck. Because those babies are born vaginally. She had a true knot. Nobody was acknowledging these other knots.
Because.
Well, she wasn't.
She wasn't aware or around enough to know what else was happening.
But she did come back and visit, and I was just so tired. And happy that she was out and okay. But I feel good. You know, Drew is great. I really love her. And she's in that real weird stage where she wants to be held by me, but not just to eat. And
she rejects her father.
She does not. She recently took a bottle.
She did. I bottle fed her last night for the first time.
Yeah.
And then calamity ensued and
I cried. The problem was,
yeah, good times.
We didn't know how much to give her in a bottle because I've never bottle fed her. And by the point that we realized that she was still hungry, Drew was over the bottle. She was like, just put me on the tap. Put me on the boot. Cause I'm tired of y'all. And so she ate for like 2 minutes and then she calmed down. But yeah, we're learning. We're learning, Mike. It's okay.
Okay.
I'm about to pump again and you can try again cause I'm about to take a nap. But, yeah, I feel fine. I'm tired. I started bottle feeding a little sooner than I wanted to. But I need the help, y'all. I'm not trying to become resentful or bitter. And so, I'm going to start letting some people help me feed her so that I can get a few extra hours of sleep because this baby loves to eat. She does.
Yeah.
And she's gaining weight fine and she's on the right, like, percentile. The pediatrician is very impressed.
We still don't know who she looked like.
Yeah, she changes every day.
Every day. She go from looking like somebody on my side of the family to somebody on Randy's side of the family.
Yeah.
To somebody on Randy's dad's side. To somebody on Randy's mom's side. And they don't look alike, by the way.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's cute, y'all. She's doing great. And that's it. Is there any final thoughts you have, Mike?
Nah. But, like, we went through a lot.
Yeah, it was bad. Mom
Remember, this started with our doctor's office deciding that it wanted to shut down and we had to find another one?
Yeah.
It started with you being drunk and peeing on a stick.
Yeah. It started with the loss of the first baby. Getting pregnant really quickly again because nature.
Well, it started at a New Year's party.
Started at a New Year's party. Actually, I was pregnant before then.
We are in a completely different place.
This time last year.
All the way around.
Yeah.
Compared
we're actually
to
coming
where
up on
right
a year
now.
Of the podcast, y'all.
Yeah. Now the podcast is coming up on its first year.
April
baby's
first.
Here.
We don't have anything planned because
we still married.
We're tired. We should supposed to do something, but I don't even know.
I don't know. I feel like we've accomplished a lot, even though we ain't done shit and we have so much to do.
Yeah. I mean, we've done stuff. It's just, you know.
At this point, though, I'm just proud. I'm proud of both of y'all.
Thank you.
She's here. She's happy. She's healthy. You're doing your thing as a mom. You're doing an amazing job.
Thank you.
An amazing job.
Doing my best.
Which is amazing.
It is.
And like, I win. I got my girl. I got my baby girl. I got my dog. I got my health. New career coming. If I could just win the lotto.
Right. You got to play the lotto to win it.
Somebody just won it. It was $600 million.
Of course they did. So I don't want to talk about that. That makes me sad. But
it was
so that's
like
the
small town in Wisconsin or something. Some old
it's
white
always,
person.
It's always. It always. But yeah, so that's our episode, y'all. It is over. That is the end of the series.
That is.
Drew is here and many episodes moving forward will be about different stuff. And thank y'all for rocking with us with these labor, this labor story. So it's PDA. And because it's PDA, Mikey, it's my lead. So you go ahead and PDA it out.
All right. Yeah. Sprinkle that in there. So PDA.
We sprinkle it in there. We do PDA in the mini episodes. What are you saying all right for?
I ain't see it.
You didn't write it.
I didn't. Okay.
This is your template.
So, PDA. What can I say? Almost 40 hours of labor.
Yep.
40 hours, 3 hospital trips, too many car rides, 15 flights of stairs, whole bunch of crying, contracting, blood.
Trauma. That's what she's talking about.
Blood, catheters.
Epidurals.
Epidurals, shots.
The shakes.
Baby monitors. And here we are with this baby.
She is snoring.
You battled a lot, Randy. You fought through a lot. And you created perfection. And I love you.
Love you too.
I love you so much. We should not be here right now.
Where should we be?
We shouldn't even be together. Like, we shouldn't have met. We shouldn't have dated. You should have stayed away.
Shoulda.
To be here from where we were when we were teenagers, just talking on some steps or chilling in the park, just trying to get a moment alone to talk.
Right. Kind of like now. Just and in a way, exactly. Isn't it crazy how, like, time repeats itself?
That's all we're trying to do. We just want to talk. I just want to talk with my girl. But we have over a decade of experiences, and we have a lifetime to go, and we just put a major piece in the middle of all of it, and like, just look at her. Like, you did that.
I mean, she's part of both of us,
but
I just baked her.
You did. And you're excellent at baking. You know I can't bake.
I know, Mikey really can't bake.
I can whip some shit up on the stovetop, really, but like,
you really can't bake.
Yeah, I'll burn
cookies.
A cookie
tastes like chips.
Because that's what they're supposed to taste like. Oh. I read the directions, okay? That's fine. Sue me. Anyway, the point I'm making is you did an amazing job, baby, all of it. Even in moments where you did not feel like you were the strongest, you looked like Xena to me. So
I love that show.
I know.
I love Xena.
I love you.
I love you too.
You did great.
Thank you.
Thanks for the baby.
You're welcome. Well, my PDA.
What up?
I feel like I've done a lot. Like, I don't know if there's anything else I can say about the fact that you were great as a labor partner and as a new dad for Drew during the labor and after she got out. So my PDA is about last night. So last night you gave her first bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew took it. Y'all, we were stressed. I was nervous. I was about to cry. Mikey was nervous. I did not know she would take it. I did not know she would take it. And then I was worried that she'd take it and she won't want to breastfeed anymore. And I was conflicted because I was like, oh my God, I need a break. But also it's my baby and I ain't ready to be separated. But like, I also need to be separated because I'm tired. So I had to stay out of the room. One, because it suggested that you do. And two, because I just knew I wouldn't be helpful. And I needed to, like, hold myself accountable and give y'all this moment. But she took the bottle. She took the bottle very quickly. And
it was very quickly.
She was like,
but she was looking mad skeptical the whole time. Like, yo, the picture that you got of me, while cute, the side eye is precious.
Yeah, she's looking at you like, nigga.
This ain't where my
I'm going to take
from.
It, but I don't want you know, I'm on to you. I'm on to you. Y'all, Drew called out our name a lot.
She do.
And I'm
pretty sure she called me a nigga in her
because
head.
She's a girl. You know, they like to do girls like that. Mm-hmm. Make girls angry and sexualize girls early. I'm telling y'all, this girl calls us out our name.
She's sassy. She got a little bit of spice. She got that from her mother.
Woo! She be looking at you like, listen. She took that pacifier, but she was not happy at first. She's like, I'm going to take it. But anyway, she took the bottle, and we didn't give her enough. We didn't know. We started off with a little, because when you know she would take it, and she was pissed. Next time around, I'll do better. I apologize for that.
You did good.
But you did really well, Mike. You were really stressed when she started to nut up, when she just started to cry, and she just couldn't be consoled, and you pushed through. Like I told you last night, I have those moments with her a lot, especially in the beginning. The only difference is nobody's home to see me cry with her and beg her to stop and try to figure out what she want and walk her and burp her and change a diaper and what and latch her and then like, why are you crying? Why won't you stop crying? Why won't you sleep? They don't last long though because she's not a fussy baby. So we realized last night she just didn't get enough. She was still hungry. But you did really well, Mike.
I had changed her because her diaper was wet.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay. And then she was fine for half a second. And then she looked at me pissed
and
because I wasn't you
screaming,
and she just started screaming. And I was like, I'm so sorry.
And she does this thing where she brings her lips back over her gums. You see them gums? You know she about to howl. But you did well, Mike. And I know that you were sad about her just freaking out and not knowing what to do. Because at one point you were like, does she do this after you eat? After you feed her? I'm like, no, she'd be chilled after she eats.
I just want to know what the norm is.
Yeah. And so I could see that you were looking really stressed and lost and just sad because you don't want your baby yelling at you. And you want to be able to help her and do what she wants. Okay. Know what she wanted, but she pushed through, and I'm gonna do better about being calm around you when y'all have moments like that, because you have to learn how to figure out your own thing with her.
I just don't get enough time.
You do.
I don't get as much as you is what I'm saying.
And not one on one, not alone. No, you don't. But you're about to. It's okay. I'm about to pump. You about to take this bottle. I'm gonna take a nap.
It still won't be the same.
It's not the exact same, but like you know, is it ever? Is it ever the exact same? You're gonna figure it out. And I have faith in you. And I really am proud of you for pushing through and being vulnerable with me last night about how you was feeling after she was screaming her head off like she was crazy. But she did hit the bottom for you, Mike. And she does love you. We just got to make sure we give her enough next time so she's not pissed about the fact that her milk has ran out unexpectedly. But you did well, Mike. You did well. And you were calm with her when you first gave her the bottle. I know that you were nervous about it, but I could not tell. And because I could not tell, she probably couldn't tell either. And so she took it and she wasn't tense.
I was fine up to that point.
But you did really well. You did really well.
Thank you.
And I'm really happy that you took this bottle so that I can get a part of my life back or just some sleep. So thank you. I love you.
You're welcome.
You did well.
For extra and exclusive content, head over to patreon.com/blackmillennialmarriage. And be sure to check out our website, www.blackmillennialmarriage.com.
Follow us on social media platforms. On Instagram, we are
Black Millennial Marriage.
On Facebook, we are
Black Millennial Marriage Podcast.
And on Twitter, we are
@_thechapmans.
You can also follow me at Randy.
Spell that.
RANDIIIEEE. And you can follow Mikey at Mikey_XXI. Don't worry. All of this information will always be in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank y'all again for listening. Be blessed.
Don't settle.
Fight clean.
Peace.
Did you know this podcast is powered by Acast? Acast is the home of podcasting. For creators looking for freedom to grow their listeners and make money too. And creative brands looking for smart ways to advertise. Podcasters and advertisers in the know Acast. It's time you did too. Visit acast.com to find out more. Acast, for the stories.